Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, on a busy, busy NFL Tuesday. Deals coming in by the minute. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Free agency. This is like the legal tampering period, whatever that means. It's not legal if it's tampering, whatever. So now all the stuff's coming out. New England's spending a fortune.
I love Taylor's
joining me. You know, it's interesting. So they always say this about alcohol, and I say it about money. Alcohol and money just make people more of what they are. Sweet people, give them a couple cocktails, or even sweeter. And money's the same thing. If a guy's a jerk, give him money, he's a bigger jerk. If somebody's giving and philanthropic, you give them money, they're incredibly charitable. Money and alcohol, it just makes you more of what you are. So everybody looked at New England spent $232 million yesterday, and this morning they went and got Hunter Henry. He struggles to stay healthy, but he's a very good tight end. Now a Patriot, was with the Chargers. Very good player, top 10 tight end. And the media reaction is, whoa, this is not New England. So what has New England been with their money over the last 20 years? Disciplined. They don't go get a lot of stars. They get productive players already in the league that are schematic fits. And so this morning, everybody's, I can't believe they spent that money. Actually, all these moves are very New England. No stars, no divas. Everybody's a scheme fit. They're all young and productive. And there's very little guaranteed money. As Joy and I have talked about the last couple of days, less than half of this money will end up going to the players. That's just the way it works. You start looking at the money they gave out. These are reasonable deals to productive B and B plus players who are all young and have ability to stay healthy. That's what New England does. Now, they did admit they've also, New England's never had a problem admitting when they miss on stuff. They do. They change stuff up all the time. Bill Belichick admitted this morning and yesterday, I can't draft tight ends and wide receivers very well, so I'm going to go solve it. So they got Jonnu Smith yesterday, a terrific tight end, and Hunter Henry this morning. Now they have one of the strongest tight end groups in the NFL. They moved up in the draft last year to get two tight ends. Neither can play. So New England's admitting this is what they do. They don't have ridiculous contracts. None of these are ridiculous. They admit when they're wrong. They move off stuff all the time. They're admitting, listen, the tight ends we drafted they're not the guys. Let's just go pay for them. And they still have the best coach in football, a top five offensive line, and they'll have a top five, six defense. This morning, they feel like a playoff team. Not a Super Bowl team, but a playoff team. And if you look at how Cam played last year in the last 9 games, if you look at what quarterbacks do in the second year of a new system, they're in a division with the goofy Jets and the, you know, still kind of rebuilding Miami. The only reason this morning that we think less of New England is because Brady's been so damn successful. If I would have told you a year and a half ago, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game is going to leave a franchise. Ooh, how do they do? Well, they're a game under 500. How about the next year? Oh, they make the playoffs. You'd be like, oh, that's not terrible. I mean, you start looking around when the great quarterbacks leave their franchises, it's not a pretty picture. Has Miami ever found the replacement for Dan Marino? Is Denver, they're still trying to figure out who the next John Elway is. So the bottom line this morning, Brady's success makes it look like, you know, the Patriots are worse than they are. Now, the schedule's not too tough. The question is, well, why is Belichick doing this? And Mike Reese, very good, wrote a very good column this morning. Now, people will say, oh, he just wants to get back at Brady. Well, that's not That's kind of petty. Well, he realizes his roster's not very good. Well, no, I think at tight end, he realizes his roster was terrible and he upgraded. In the other places, he just added good players to already good units. But here's the key, and this is why all these moves are very New England, is that Reese points out correctly that because of the pandemic, the cap's coming down. And most teams are just trying to get under the cap, and New England, always financially responsible, has a ton of money. So there's a bunch of really good players on the market. You don't have to sign to four-year deals. Many of you can sign to 2 and 3 year deals. Give them some guaranteed money, but a lot of it is incentive-based. This feels exactly like New England. No stars, scheme fits, smart contracts, most of it not guaranteed. Young players. I mean, Nelson Aguilar is like, you know, 27 years old. They got a corner who's 26 years old. This feels very much like New England. It's not crazy. And I think this is funny. So I said this yesterday to Joy. The Boston media was just going nuts this week. It's Camp Day. I tear my case. It's the worst team in the world. Okay, this morning. If this is how I feel this morning strongly, the stratas of the NFL, I feel like there's four teams that are locks to make the playoffs. Like something seismic would have to go wrong. Green Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo, Tampa. You'd have to have like an injury to the star quarterback. Those are the playoff locks. We can put them up there for our audience. The four playoff locks. Then I think there's two teams that are close to locks. The Rams and Ravens. I want to see Matt Stafford in the system first year, but they feel like a playoff team. Ravens, tough division. Joe Burrow's getting better. And then there's three teams I'd be surprised if they miss the playoffs. The Colts, the Seahawks, and the Patriots. All right. Brady and Belichick are both in there. And I think what you're looking at now with New England is great coach, great O-line, great defense, now great tight ends. And they have upgraded their primary weakness, skill people, by acknowledging we're not great at it. That's New England. They've never thought they had all the answers. They can be arrogant and smug, but they're constantly moving off things. And what they're basically doing is they built a team in the last 24 hours to fit Cam. When Cam had the 15-1 season, do you remember his leading receiver? It was Greg Olsen, the tight end. So what did Belichick do? He went and got Cam Newton, two great tight ends. And what else did that Carolina team do well? They ran the football. What's New England? Damian Harris, Sony Michel, good offensive line. Probably bring back Burkhead. They'll run the ball. So Belichick is putting his arms around Cam and saying, year two, special teams defense, me, that's all good. Let's build a team around Cam. He's saying the market didn't offer us anything they liked. Garoppolo can't stay healthy. Mariota's probably too expensive. Jets won't give us Darnold. We'd like to do a deal for Deshaun Watson, but what do we got to give? So I'll go back to it. I was a proponent of signing Cam, and I look at this morning, and I think I'd be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs. All right, let me segue to the Chicago Bears. I've never told this story before. This is a new Uncle Colin story. So I moved to Vegas about like 1986, 87. Single, young, and about a year into it, got a job at a TV station. So I was making for my age, making pretty good money. And I was hanging around other like single guys, you know, and it was fun guys, but you know, it was Vegas and you're kind of sorting out who you trust and who you don't. And I remember there was one guy I really liked and he said, hey, I'm going to have lunch. I want to introduce you to some of my buddies. And they want to talk about a business idea. And after about 90 seconds, I said, that's not a business idea. That's a pyramid scheme. And I said to him, that's a discussion I don't even want to be in. One, because I don't want to be part of a pyramid scheme and go to prison. And two, if I hear you're discussing it, I'm going to think less of you, and you're the one guy I like. So I don't want to hear you talk about it, and I'll think less of you. And then if I get asked years later about it, I want to be culpable. I want deniability. I got no idea what's happening. I don't even want to be. Sometimes you just don't want to be in discussions. I want deniability. I'll think less of you, and I don't want to go to prison. So I said, I'm out. I'm not going to lunch. I don't even want to be part of the discussion. There's my story. You got to be careful about the discussions you allow yourself to be in. The Chicago Bears got in the Russell Wilson discussion over the last week. They did not refute those rumors. Well, it came from Russell's side. They did not refute the rumors. The problem with that is this morning, the Bears have interest in Andy Dalton. Okay, being involved in the Russell Wilson discussions and then settling for Andy Dalton is promising your kids a two-week vacation in Hawaii and settling for a weekend at a state park. This isn't good. It feels like a big dud to a fan base that's worn out. I like Andy Dalton as a backup. I've said before, I think he's the best backup in the league potentially. And I do think in Cincinnati and Dallas, if you give him a bunch of good skill people, you can win games with him. But Chicago's not that fit. Chicago needs a playmaker at quarterback. That's why Trubisky actually won some games. He's a little bit of a playmaker with his feet. They got one legit wide receiver, a decent young tight end. I like Tariq Cohen, a running back. O-line's okay, but this is not a fit for Andy Dalton. And I increasingly, Ryan Pace, the general manager, I don't trust. I didn't like the Trubisky move. This is a ridiculous move. It's a bad fit. And you cannot get involved in Russell Wilson discussions and just let him go and probably feed him and not deny him and end up with Andy Dalton. Because if Andy Dalton, with this offensive skill group, is your quarterback in just the NFC North, start in second place and work your way down. Thank God Detroit's in that division or you'd finish potentially fourth. So sometimes you just have to step away from discussions. Give yourself deniability. Don't set yourself up to disappoint people. But don't get involved in the Russell Wilson stuff and then come out with that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Most of these teams, I get a set. Like yesterday, the Chargers went out and got Lindsley, the center from Green Bay. That was a good move, and I knew they were going to go out and go O-line. Not a shock. They went and got a Steeler, too. Like Cleveland, by the way, went and got a John Johnson. Good safety. Good move for Cleveland. They needed that. Now with Grant Delpit from LSU, the rookie got hurt. Like, Cleveland needed to get better in the back end. I kind of thought that would happen. They did. Nice move by Cleveland. Chargers needed to get better in the O-line. They got a great center. But there are teams that I just can't figure out. And I don't get Washington. So they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to a one-year, $10 million deal. And I would have never guessed it. A mistake-prone gunslinger. He's cool. He's got a great aura. But last year, 13 touchdowns, 8 picks. So I would have stayed with Alex Smith just for his leadership, or I would have gone after Sam Darnold because of his athleticism and youth. And I think you could sell both of those qualities to the locker room. Hey, we're bringing Alex back. We may draft a quarterback, but Alex, a leader. We went 5-1 with him. He didn't play great, but I think you can sell that to the locker room. Or you say, listen, Sam Darnold's 23, really athletic and dynamic. We think he takes us to the promised land. I think you can sell that. I think Fitzmagic is a hard sell to a locker room. I mean, he's only once played more than 6 games. Like he's never healthy. And he throws a lot of interceptions. And he's fun and he's cool. And he went to Harvard and he wears cool bowling shirts. Like all that, yes, 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 yes. But even in Miami last year, they benched him. Even in Miami last year, 13 TDs, 8 picks. So I can't quite figure out. Maybe it's this. And it's funny about standards. New England 7-9, and they totally changed their offense. Washington 7-9, and we'll go with Fitzmagic. Is Ron Rivera simply saying this division's so bad I can win it with Ron? I can win it with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think Bill Belichick in a division with Josh Allen thought he could win the division against Sean McDermott and Josh Allen unless he made major upgrades. Like tight end wide receiver. I think Rivera looks at his division and thinks, I can win this thing with Fitzmagic. That feels like settling to me, because Ryan's probably third to fourth best quarterback in every division in football, not named the NFC East. So generally, I just think it's a hard sell to a locker room. I think, he's a 38-year-old guy, fun, but there's a playoff team last year. I think you can sell Alex Smith leadership. I think you could sell Sam Darnold. You could sell Marcus Mariota a little bit, who is talented. I don't know what they're doing, because I actually like their personnel.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
We love Peter. Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports TV Insider, NFL reporter, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So he is as plugged in as anybody. I got to tell you this, when I was growing up doing this, younger, the NBA was always the transaction league. The NFL has blown by it. It is now the transaction league. Even the Patriots spend money. So let's talk about the free agency for New England. One of the things they clearly upgraded was tight end. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, first of all, Colin, I remember covering a league when free agencies have to visit the teams before they sign. That is a thing of the past. Now you just sign before even meeting the guy. This is a huge deal. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith might be two of the best tight ends in football, two of the best young tight ends. The Patriots go and break the bank on both of them. Here's a stat I just got. I'm looking at my phone because it's these two have combined for 25 end zone targets in the last two seasons. The Patriots have thrown to their tight ends in the end zone just three times over the past 2 years. So you think about the height and the width and the length of these guys and their natural ability and their ages, they're going back to a two tight end system. And everyone automatically thinks of Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. But remember, there was Ben Watson and Patrick Graham for a while that they would go to. This is what the Patriots' bread and butter was, the two tight end system where they can both crush you from the inside and the outside. Both these guys can block. And if they stay healthy, it's smart. I spoke to a source who said, the Patriots put all the wide receivers and tight ends in free agency in one board, and they called it pass catchers. So it's not like we need this wide receiver and this tight end. They said pass catchers, and Jonnu Smith was on the top of that list, and Hunter Henry was high as well. Patriots are zigging when everyone else is zagging. I respect the heck out of it. They looked at their 7-9 team last year. Belichick saw they had money to spend, unlike other years. And in the past, the Patriots would sit back, smoke a cigar, and laugh when everyone would spend crazy money on players that they let go, their free agents. And then they would get these compensatory picks in the draft on the back end. They would get a third or a fourth round pick, and they'd say, oh, that's because this guy left and signed for crazy money with the Dolphins or the Jaguars. We don't do that. They were honest with themselves. They were brutally honest with themselves. They said, while the rest of the league is trying to be fiscally sound and efficient because the salary cap's down, this is the one year we have a ton of money. We don't have a ton of talent. Let's go and acquire it. And whether you think Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry make a big deal or a big change, Belichick knows what he's doing and he knows what his roster needs. He's not sitting around. I respect it. Aggressive.
You know, a team that has not historically had a great deal of fiscal discipline is the Jets. So it's interesting. Carl Lawson doesn't get a lot of sacks, but he does get pressures. The analytic guys do like him, but now he's the highest paid Jet. So they're paying him like a star. Then they bring in Corey Davis, who's so talented, but they pay him like a star, and he's wildly inconsistent. I could certainly make the argument these are the opposite of New England moves. They pay a ton of money, star money, for guys who have kind of been inconsistent. But is there a greater message in what they're doing here?
There is. So 2 years ago, they broke the bank on Le'Veon Bell and Breshad Perryman. And they Anthony Barr's coming. And then Anthony Barr at the last second's like, what am I doing going with the Jets? I'm going to be a Viking where I belong. And it was embarrassing. And I think 2 years later, we can say the Le'Veon Bell thing was a disaster. Breshad Perryman's a free agent again. And there's countless other players that you can point to that the Jets swung and missed on. What are those? All those offensive linemen from 2 years ago in the summer that they brought in. I spoke with a Jets source before free agency, and I'm not kidding, Colin. What this source told me was, we want players who eat, breathe, and crap football. Sorry for that detail at 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Crap football. And guess what? Corey Davis, from everyone I talked to at the Titans, that guy eats, breathes, craps football, loves football. These are guys who love the game. Now, you can't win just on culture and just on character. These guys have to play. But remember, out of college, Corey Davis was a top five pick, not a top five wide receiver. He went fifth overall to the Tennessee Titans. They think he's going to be fantastic. Obviously, they view him that way. They're paying him. You go to Lawson, that is a good sound move. That guy just rushes the passer and can get to the quarterback. Didn't have all the sack numbers, but if you watch, he can. And then the sneaky one they did, Jared Davis, who's a linebacker who's going to make about $6 million next year, was the 21st overall pick in the draft in 2017, drafted by the Lions. Was kind of lost in what Matt Patricia was doing. Loves football, was a captain at Florida. They believe that he can be the voice of a defense as a young player. I don't think the Jets are done. I think they're getting speed today. In the next couple hours, you might see some signings either at wide receiver or corner, but speed is their key. But from Joe Douglas to Saleh to the owner, they want players who love football and want to be New York Jets, because Robert Saleh signed on to be the Jets coach because he wanted to be a New York Jet. That is the message. Who wants to be a Jet and who's going to be about football first and everything else second? And a couple of those wide receivers that they didn't sign, I think you could point to that as one of the reasons why they went with Corey Davis as opposed to those players.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't love it. Wide receivers, actually, there's a bunch still available. So, I mean, what is that telling us? There's some really good players out there.
Market. This is interesting, right? So Kenny Golladay, everyone was doing flips over. What's Kenny Golladay worth? He's 28 years old. He's had injuries. And if the Detroit Lions, who have a giant void at wide receiver, are letting him walk out the door and he's this wonderful number one wide receiver, what does that tell you? Is there a red flag there? Teams are a little gun shy on Kenny Golladay right now. I'm not sure he gets the money everyone expected he was going to get before this thing. Juju Smith-Schuster, we laugh about the TikTok and all the extracurricular stuff. Well, I can tell you that maybe it does come into play, and it's nothing about a criminal background or anything that he's done nefariously. It's about whether I'm going to pay this player number one wide receiver money, despite the fact that maybe he's not a number one wide receiver. So there's this weird upper class of the wide receiver position, and Curtis Samuel is included, where I think we typically think, all right, wide receiver, well, you just pay him the big money. The draft is loaded with wide receiver talent this year, and there's a really good second tier of free agents, and that's the Corey Davises who you saw got signed. I think T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, players that teams know can come in and be professionals. They might not want to break the bank in a year where everyone's salary cap is way down and they've got to be fiscally efficient on guys like a Juju or a Kenny Golladay, which still might have some question marks, and we're not sure they're number one wide receivers yet.
You know, Shregs, my guess was that Ndamukong Suh would not be retained because the Bucs have a end of the first round pick and there's some good interior linemen down there, but that they'd kind of figure out a way to make it work, and it does look like they're keeping the band back together, right?
Yeah, look, Bruce Arians had a few pops in him at the parade, and he's like, this guy's coming back, and this guy's coming back, and this guy's coming back. And we kind of like, all right, it's nice 2 days after the Super Bowl. Let's see if all those guys are coming back. I could tell you they had a plan, and it's crazy. They had a PowerPoint, basically. And it's Jason Light and Mikey Greenberg, who's a salary cap guru, and Jason Light's the GM. It was like, priority one, let's figure out a way to bring Godwin and Barrett back somehow. They got them both back. Godwin on the franchise, Barrett on a deal yesterday. Somehow get Levante David to not even hit free agency and come back. They got him. And now it's Gronk. Got him. The next two names, Ndamukong Suh and Ryan Succop, the kicker. For years, they've had kicker woes in Tampa Bay, going back to Roberto Aguayo being traded up for and drafted in the second round. But with Ndamukong Suh, I don't know the market for Suh. They really want him back. It's interesting. He's got twins on the way, his first kids, and he's negotiating the contract himself. So this is the first time he's going at it where he's like, I'm going to handle this myself. I'm not paying an agent. And the team has already said that he's a priority. I'm curious to see how these negotiations go, because Ndamukong Suh has always been the type of player that has made big money and has been very savvy with his contracts. I'm curious to see if he's going to try to get them for every last dime, or if he's willing to come back for a little bit less to go back to where he was a champion.
Good stuff. Peter Schrager, Fox Sports NFL reporter, all these good stories. Good seeing you, Schrags.
Love seeing you, Colin. Thanks so much.
All right.
Do you like NFL free agency? Well, you're in luck. I have you covered on the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff. I used to scout in the NFL. Now I talk about it for a living on that podcast. Go check it out. Coming up this week, Bill Belichick went all out. Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, Tua. Are these guys going to get traded? All this money after the cap went down, didn't faze teams, and more. 3 and Out podcast. Go subscribe.
Rob Gronkowski is returning to the Bucs, and he should. He said he was going to test the free agent market, but he's back. First of all, I lived in Tampa for a couple of years. It's a really nice place to live. It's cheap. It's one of the few big markets in America where it's still reasonably priced homes, no state tax. It doesn't have for a family. It's quieter than Miami or New York. It's not as angry as Boston or Philly. It's just the expectations aren't as high as like a Chicago or Dallas. It's an easy place to play. And for years and years, they had everything right except quarterback. They always had good coaches. They always had good players. But here's the thing about Brady. Go look at Tom Brady's career. Find me the player that left him and became more relevant and won more. I'll wait for your answer. Like, in our business, it's the three R's. If you go to a network, you got to be relevant. You got to get some revenue for the company and get some ratings. Find me the players, ratings being wins in the NFL. Find me the players that left Brady and became more relevant and won more. Like, they don't exist. So, I mean, and the other thing, Brady, because he's the best player ever in the sport, not just his position, and he takes pay cuts, if you leave him, there is a little stigma, oh, that's a money guy. He's just in it for money. So when Brady's taking pay cuts and Tim Duncan's taking pay cuts, everybody kind of feels like, well, I want to win. So you just look at Tom's career. List the players who are more relevant and win more when they leave Tom. Now, Chandler Jones was good, but he didn't win more. Wes Welker's career didn't last too long after it. He's the one you could argue, oh, Wes Welker, he bounced around after that. So, I mean, there is no Wes Welker without Brady. Nobody knew who he was. So Trent Dilfer talks about it. There's layers to Tom. He is like now, he's supposed to be talking Leonard Fournette into staying. So Leonard Fournette is a go-either-way guy. Apparently Brady's leaning on him. Hey, we're all taking bits and cuts and pay cuts. Come back in. And Trent Dilfer sort of talks about what Tom brings that nobody else can really duplicate.
There's nobody like him. And I don't think you can properly articulate the impact he has until he's there in your organization, in your system. He's going to demand excellence every second of every day. And if you don't join him, you're going to be out of there. You're not going to be playing much. Nobody changes the culture like Tom Brady.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For different reasons, the 10 best free agent signings in the history of the National Football League.
Number 10.
Mike Vrabel to the Patriots 20 years ago. He'd never started an NFL game before signing with New England. He was the perfect fit. They won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. He became the glue guy and the IQ and the vocal leader. They even used him in the red zone on offense. He's the greatest value free agent ever. He'd never started a game. He went and became really a key component, a leadership, a Brady on defense, and didn't have to pay him anything. Like, he's the greatest value free agent ever, Mike Vrabel.
Number 9.
Kurt Warner, Cardinals, total culture changer. Losing franchise, he made him a winner. They had not won their division since the mid-70s. And then Kurt Warner showed up for Arizona and changed everything. And he got him to a Super Bowl, and it was their first Super Bowl appearance. So he really changed the culture. Didn't win the Super Bowl, but, I mean, Arizona, from that point forward, we think of them as a competent franchise.
Number 8.
Charles Woodson to the Packers. It was much riskier than you think. Now, it turned out great, but Green Bay was the only team that bid on him because he had not played, believe it or not, he had not played a full season in the previous 4 with injuries. So you look at it now and think, oh, it's brilliant. Nobody else offered it. Now, he went on to become the Defensive Player of the Year. A couple years later, had 9 interceptions returned for a touchdown. while a Packer, which was most in the league, but it was riskier at the time than you think.
Number 7.
Warren Moon, 80s to the Oilers, a stabilizer. Here was this great quarterback who had to play in the CFL for years, and he really changed everything about Houston. They became an offensive juggernaut with Warren Moon. He stabilized the franchise, and they'd always had talent, but they just never felt like put together right. And he ended all the chaos in Houston.
Number 6.
The flashiest free agent signing of all time. Rod Woodson, Ravens, back in 98. So he changed positions. So he became a safety and became a defensive playmaker. He was always a great player, great speed. But again, little bit of a risk. I'm going to change positions. But he really added an aggressiveness to the Ravens' defense where they became a playmaking defense. Some guys just get interceptions. Ed Reed, Rod Woodson become offensive players once they get those interceptions. And he had 5 defensive touchdowns during his Ravens career, most of any player in the NFL during that span.
Number 5.
Okay, this is the flashiest free agent signing of all time. It was the Dion Sweepstakes. Eagles, Raiders, Dolphins, Saints, Niners, Cowboys. Cowboys won their 3rd title in 4 years. Dion was fantastic. It was the biggest, flashiest, most outspoken star to the biggest, flashiest brand. Certainly one of the most talked about free agent signings, prime time to the number 1 prime time television show in the NFL.
Number 4.
Reggie White to the Packers. Not a high risk. He was a dominating player. It was the first offseason that featured free agency in the NFL, and he was the first big free agent to change teams. He went to Green Bay. Not a lot of risk. He was dominant. 6 playoffs, 6 Pro Bowls, 3 division titles, Defensive Player of the Year. This was one. Everybody saw it coming. He was great. First big star to switch teams, and he completely, utterly delivered.
Number 3.
Brady and the Buccaneers. Now, it's only a year old, and it got him a Super Bowl. They've always had talent, and they've always had decent coaching. But they had the worst winning percentage of any major American pro sports franchise. 17 years without a playoff win. So like Kurt Warner, he's a culture changer. Now guys are taking pay cuts to stay with Tampa. I would put that at 2.
Number 2.
Peyton Manning, because he did it longer. He got to 2 Super Bowls. And it was interesting, and this is why I give Peyton credit. He replaced a popular quarterback. People in Tampa were kind of done with Jameis and his interceptions. Tim Tebow, especially conservative, the GOP. I mean, Denver can get conservative. They loved Tim Tebow. And Elway was trapped. So he had to get a bigger star than Tebow to kind of save the franchise from what they viewed as a niche college quarterback who'd gotten on a hot streak in the NFL. So Peyton, number 2.
Number 1.
Drew Brees. I mean, end of story. Not only did he change the culture from a losing culture, he overcame Katrina. He's been huge for the community. He was seemingly there forever. It's one of the winningest franchises. Listen, of all the free agent signings this year, don't take it personally, none of you are going to get Drew Brees. Like, there will not be a free agent signing as good as Drew Brees this year. Best of luck to Corey Davis and the Jets. Fine player, but it's not going to be Drew Brees, the greatest free agent signing, and frankly, easily of all time.